having the fanciest equipment and the most expensive equipment is not the solution for everything. So I was wondering what commentary you have on that.
How do you encourage the older kids without worrying that they'll A, resent you, and B, maybe have tendencies to be cluttered as they get older?
How do you stop the influx of stuff, even from other people, just presents and...
I declutter things and my husband is okay with it. And a week later, he brings home another supply for baking or another gift for the kids.
The things I have of my mom's in my basement, photos and memorabilia, and I just don't know what to do with all the stuff.
We're moving across the country in a few months, but how do we do that when we don't know where we're going to be living next?
Welcome to the Minimal Mom Podcast, where simplicity meets inspiration on your journey to a clutter-free and intentional life. Join us each week as we dive into practical tips, real-life stories, and expert interviews to guide you through the art of decluttering, intentional living, and finding joy in the simple moments. Whether you're a seasoned minimalist or just starting your journey, we're here to help you create a life with less stuff and more meaning. Let's declutter our homes, minds, and lives together. This is the Minimal Mom Podcast.
Well, it's always so fun to get to answer your questions. I do have a link down below if you want to leave a voicemail with a question that you have, and then we can answer those on an upcoming podcast episode as well. But this first question from Randall is so good. I'm so glad that he asked it.
The fact of having a bad vacuum at our house was one of the reasons why I wasn't good at vacuuming. And part of my journey of becoming good at decluttering involved getting a better vacuum. And I realized that having the fanciest equipment and the most expensive equipment is not the solution for everything. So I was wondering what commentary you have on that.
This is such a good question because this has 100% been my experience as well. And I think what gets confusing is that many of us have been burned so many times. Marketing is so intense, and we've all been sold things that told us they were going to be the miracle product and they were going to solve all of our problems, and then they didn't. And so over time, we start to lose trust with ourselves because I feel like we've filled up our houses with all of this mediocre stuff that doesn't really meet our needs or work well for us. And we don't necessarily want to go and invest in other pieces because we feel like we're just going to get taken again. And so I do feel like as I have worked to declutter my home, now I have gotten back to a place where I feel like I do make much better decisions. And I love what you said, Randall, that it doesn't have to be the most expensive thing that ends up being the tool that is a really great fit for you. But I do think that it does require a certain amount of bandwidth to be able to research things and to make an educated and a wise decision. And so like the case of your vacuum, I'm imagining that you did put some thought and intentionality into it, and you were able to do so because you have begun simplifying your house. And you could very clearly look at the problem you were having. Our current vacuum really isn't cutting it, and it makes it so I don't like to vacuum. And then you were able to make a good decision. It wasn't an impulse buy. I wasn't just scrolling on Instagram one night, not even thinking about vacuums, but then a cleaning reel came up and someone said, you have to get this vacuum. It's the best ever. And then I go straight to Amazon and I order it and I get it. And then it doesn't actually work that well. That happens because we didn't take a lot of time to be intentional about the purchase. We hadn't been thinking about it for a while, doing some research, collecting other data, right? So I think we can all relate to that. And so I love that as we have continued to simplify our home, it's really enjoyable now for me to make upgrades in certain areas when I'm very intentional about it. Even sometimes it's a little pricier, but I feel good about it because I've put thought into it. I've let it sit for a while. It's not an impulse buy. I didn't just see something online and then now I feel like I have to have it. And if then once in a while I do make a mistake, I'm not so hard on myself because I'm like, I actually put a lot of thought into that. And for whatever reason, it just didn't pan out. And so keep working on decluttering your home. And then I do feel like we all start making better buying decisions and we start to introduce things into our home that do just make our lives more enjoyable and easier. I love the vacuum that I have right now. I'm kind of hesitant to even link to it down below because like, I'm not saying everyone go get this vacuum, but it fits our needs really well because it's portable, it's light, and we don't actually have that much carpet that we vacuum. So it works great for that. It's very easy. The kids have fun using it too. And we don't have pets. So if you have pets, I have no idea if this would be a good vacuum or not, right? But for us, we vacuum like once a week and just have limited spaces that we vacuum. It works really well. I'm sure there's better vacuums out there, but I don't care. I don't need to know about that right now. And I don't need to tell the whole world to go buy this vacuum because I don't know if it's the best one for everyone's needs. But there is so much joy when you find the right tool for the job and it makes your life easier and you're really proud of the decision you've made. I can totally resonate with that, Randall. And I really appreciate your question.
Hi, Dawn. This is Candace from the channel Simply This Life. As my kids are getting older, how much do I really encourage them to declutter? The littler kids are easier for me. I just declutter late at night and they're toddlers and they don't even notice. But as my kids have gotten older, I've really been struggling with that. So how do you encourage the older kids without worrying that they'll A, resent you and B, maybe have tendencies to be cluttered as they get older? Thank you so much.
Oh, well, this is so fun to hear from Candace. So she has a great YouTube channel, Simply This Life. So we will link to that down below. And Candace, this is such a good question. Comes up often. And so again, the idea of, well, will my kids resent me if I'm making them get rid of stuff or maybe before they're ready? And also then will they grow up to want to have more stuff or be more attached to stuff because of the lifestyle that I'm promoting right now? I want you to know this is something that I have researched. I have talked to mental health professionals, anyone that has anything to do with kids. I ask this question because I want to make sure I am advising you and sharing the best information possible. But here's what is fascinating to me. In my own personal experience, in my experience working with other women and with all the professionals that I've talked to, everything comes back to the same conclusion, and that is that kids thrive in highly simplified spaces. They're not good at managing inventory, and as long as you are involving them in the process of decluttering, you don't have to worry about resentment or them keeping extra stuff when they're older. You know, I think we worry about like the word hoarding. I like to use that carefully, but that we don't have to worry necessarily about that based on us having this value for living simply. So let's unpack this a little bit. I remember early on, I had a conversation with Joshua Becker about this. And the question was kind of something to the effect of like, how far should I go to impose my values for minimalism and simple living on my kids? And I thought his answer was so good because he said, well, it's kind of like any other value that we might have, whether it's spiritual beliefs, whether it's healthy eating or exercise or how we take care of our bodies, whether, you know, some have really strong values around education and reading and learning or helping others and being a philanthropist and, you know, how we're serving others. And so he said, in that respect, it's really no different than any of our other values. And as parents, we have to decide how far do I go to impose that on my kids? How much freedom do I give them to develop their own thoughts and ideas in this area? And again, I think as long as we are involving our kids in the process of decluttering, you know, I would imagine resentment comes in when it feels like we've been forced to get rid of something. And, you know, I can look back and say, yes, were there times where I was like strongly encouraging my kids to get rid of things? And maybe sometimes I was like pretty influential in that and they were kind of on the fence. Yes, but we know our kids and most of us have enough equity with our children that if we were to make a mistake, I mean, there was a time when Carmen came back and he was like, oh, I wish I hadn't gotten rid of that remote control car or whatever, that we have enough equity with our kids and we can demonstrate to them what it looks like to make a mistake and then make up for that. And we can say, wow, I am so sorry. Or, you know, buddy, when we were doing that decluttering and cleaning, I was really getting into it. And I'm sorry if I encouraged you to go too far or if I overstepped in how far I was encouraging you or whatever. And then how can I make this up to you? And I don't usually recommend rebuying the item, but I'll say like, hey, do you want to play a game together? Do you want to go for a walk together? Do you want to bake some cookies? Will you help me make dinner? Do you want to go work in the garden together? And our kids usually are so desperate for our connection and our time that any of my kids have always gladly taken me up on that. And we actually spend a good amount of time together, I feel like, right? And so I can make it up to him through connection. And that's usually what they really seem to value. We have to remember, like, our kids have a different relationship with stuff than we do. And it's often very confusing because we do still very much have kids that are very attached to things. But what I've learned from others, like child psychologists and whatnot, is often it's more about control than actually about the physical item. So it's often a way that they're communicating to us that they want more time from us. They want more attention. I saw this reel on Instagram last night and it blew my mind. There was an interviewer and he was asking couples that had families, and he was saying this, you know, the common question, if you could have dinner with anybody, who would it be? And so the couples were, you know, talking about people living, dead. I would have dinner with Oprah or Bon Jovi or, you know, like celebrities, theologians, like all these different people, right? And then what they did was they brought their kids in. And all of the kids were like elementary through middle school age, probably, from what I could tell. And then they asked the kids, they said, if you could have dinner with anyone, who would you want to have dinner with? And the kids, all of the kids said, my family, my parents, all of their answers. It was not celebrities. It wasn't famous people. It was, they just wanted to have dinner with their families. And so we have these kids that are growing up and they are drowning in stuff. They have so much stuff to the point where many of them don't have a lot of value for it anymore, but they are desperate for human connection. And so our home, I know that in our home, when we have a lot of clutter, when the clutter creeps up and there's too much stuff, that really impacts like our connection with one another, our ability just to enjoy downtime, to sit and have a meal together and to do projects together. And so my focus isn't so much on decluttering. My focus is on creating a peaceful home. And we talk about this. How does it feel when our house is cluttered? How does it feel when there's stuff everywhere? How does it feel when it takes a long time to clean it up? Like everyone's grumbling, it's not so enjoyable. But wow, when it's simplified, like we can clean our common spaces quickly and you can keep your bedroom clean more easily. And so we have conversations about this. Like, what is the overarching value? Why is decluttering important to us? And also, I don't want my kids to be so attached to their things or be materialistic, right? And so we talk about that. Like, stuff is meant to be a tool. It's meant to serve us. It helps us do jobs. It maybe it's for entertainment, some toys and stuff. But when we lose value for it and we're not using it anymore, well, we don't want to continue to maintain that kind of stuff or organize it or have to use our precious time and energy managing it anymore. Then we want to let that thing go, whether it's so someone else could use it or make use of it, or just so we don't have to manage it anymore. So this is an ongoing conversation. As far as then, are our kids going to be more likely to hoard or to keep excess? Well, again, what I've learned from others around this, I love visiting with Melanie from A Hoarder's Heart and some other professionals that I've talked with, that hoarding generally stems from some kind of trauma or something else that has gone on in their past. And so really, as the parent, you don't maybe have as much control over that. But as long as you are doing your best, which we all are, to like make sure our kids are, you know, safe and cared for, then that's something that we maybe don't have as much control from. Like, really what they're going to learn, what they learn the most from us is what we're modeling, right? So they're observing, how are we taking care of our stuff? How much stuff do we have? We are modeling a lot to them. And so maybe when they're older, could they end up with a lot of stuff in their house? Yes. And if they decide that that's too much or they don't want to have so much, then we have given them the skills and the tools they need to be able to bring the inventory back down again. But there's only so much we can control in that regard. But again, from everything I've learned and studied and heard from others, I don't think we have to worry about that so much. And so again, we look at the values. What are the values that are important to us as a family? And we each get to decide that for ourselves. And for us, it's like, I want them to be focused on relationships and helping other people. Like, keep stuff that you thoroughly enjoy and that you're using, absolutely. But once you're not using it anymore, then we don't want to just keep stuff in our house. And I will wind up with saying this though. Yes, I understand that some kids are way more attached than others. And so we do have tactics for that too. So again, our youngest is the most attached. He's very like sentimental and he just keeps all the little, I've talked about this, but the wrappers and the, just all the thing that we just look at, and we're like, that's garbage. Why are you keeping that, right? But he wants to, right? So we have treasure bins for him and he can keep anything that he wants in there. And it is the most random, weird stuff in there, but he gets to decide that, right? But the rule is the lids have to fit on it. And so every once in a while we have to go through it and we usually look for stuff at the bottom and let that stuff, that's easier to let go. And so we just practice that and we do it. And it's just something, again, in our household that we do frequently. We just are aware of areas where inventory creeps up. And if people aren't using it and don't have any value for it, then we let it go. So yes, I do also understand kids that are attached and we don't have to force them to get rid of their stuff. We just have conversations. We talk about it. We have some tools like this that we can use, like treasure bins. I'm not above. I love the tactic to for your kids, especially when you're just getting started, to give them a laundry basket or a box and say, hey, if you fill this up, I'll give you $5 for it. Again, I'm not forcing them, but it tells me, it gives me information. Where is their value at for these things? If they're willing to fill up a whole box of stuff for $5, they've totally lost value for that. They just needed the right time and opportunity to let that stuff go. And so we have different tactics that we can use, but mostly, a good news that I don't think this is something that we have to worry about too much. And if we do make a mistake, we own up to it and we move on. And most of us have enough equity with our kids that our relationships can withstand that.
This is Teresa. I live in Northern Ireland. How do you stop the influx of stuff, even from other people, just presents and the kids taking stuff home? And love you and thanks for everything.
So a few things. So we have the aspect with other people. We have the aspect with our kids bringing in stuff and ourselves bringing in stuff, right? So let's break it down into those three categories. So other people, I realized that some people listen to me and some people don't. Some people, like my mom and sister, are great. They'll ask what the kids need before birthdays and Christmas. They're really great about consumable things, things that get used up. And they're very intentional with what they give and they're very respectful of our lifestyle now. That's awesome. I have some other family members that don't, and it's fine. It really bugged me in the beginning because I'll remember the first Easter after we decluttered our home. And for whatever reason, it was like that Easter, every extended family member, I think as our kids were young at the time, it just said like everyone brought them an Easter basket and stuff. And I got home and this stuff was everywhere and it was so frustrating and I felt so discouraged. And I'm like, don't you know all the hard work I've been trying to do? And now you just all undone it in one Easter celebration, right? And then, you know, over time, I'm like, oh, good night, Dawn. Like, get it together. No one can undo your house in a weekend or two or after one birthday or even Christmas. I've learned that I communicate with the people that are asking, that genuinely want to know. And for others who like simply just want to give what they want to give, I let them do that. Gifts are meant to be an expression of love and there's supposed to be freedom in it and not just my list of rules. So if they're asking, I give input. If not, it comes in. Once it's in, then we have systems for dealing with it. Number two, let's talk about the kids. We try to head off as much stuff. Like we don't go to the dollar store really much anymore, but for a while I had to let the kids learn that. Like they could spend their money wherever they wanted. So we'd go there, they'd buy stuff, it doesn't last. And we would just talk about it. I wouldn't get down. I'm not like, oh, everything from the dollar store is crap. You know, I didn't have to do that. We would just look at the data. We'd collect the evidence. Huh. That stuff doesn't last as long. There's very few things that we get that stand the test of time. There were a couple things the kids liked, like if the boys got Matchbox cars there, those live on forever, right? So I'd kind of steer them in that direction, or even some of the Lego things they've gotten there. You know, the girls would be like, let's get craft supplies, like things that are consumable. And so there are still some things we can get there. So I don't feel like I have to like be so black and white about it, but we don't take a lot of free stuff if we go places, and we just try to be aware before we accept something when we're out. And then lastly, myself, again, I really try to stay away from the dollar store, the dollar spot at Target. I like to do store pickup whenever possible. I don't take free things now when we go places. Even often if someone will offer something to me, I'll politely decline it. And I know myself, like, if I go on Instagram late at night and some influencer that I follow is selling me something, they're so convincing and I feel like they're my friends. And so I often want to buy it, right? And so I try to not even go on social media at night or other places where I might be tempted to make those impulse purchases. So instead, I like to you know, use my Kindle app and read fiction. No one's trying to sell me anything when I'm just reading a book, you know? And otherwise, if I do feel like, oh, I really have to have that, I try and let it sit in the cart for a while, you know, and not just make that purchase right away. So that has been a big help. Not going into stores, don't window shop, don't go in for, oh, I have a little time to kill before I have to pick up the kids. I'm going to go in, try not to do that, do store pickup. So those have been some things that have helped me a lot to stop bringing stuff in. And then once it's in our house, like we're still always going to have stuff coming in. We're always decluttering, always. Like I do, like cleaning goes hand in hand with decluttering. Now, when I'm cleaning and picking up, like anything I pick up, I am always like, does this have to stay in our house? Especially if it's something like the kids brought in and it's like kind of floating around. Now I'm always just like, but do we have to keep this? Is anyone still using this or having any value for it? And once they're done with it, I'll, you know, especially if it's on the floor, it's like, you pick it up, you can keep it. I pick it up, I keep it, right? But, you know, Gage is very attached to stuff. He has his treasure boxes. So we have places they put the stuff. If they're not putting it there, it's mine. I deal with it. But they might have value for it for a little while. And then over time, then we're like, hey, your room is too full. You can't keep it picked up. Hey, the bookshelves are too full. We need to go through them, and we make a pass through them. And we do this so frequently now that it's really not that big of a deal. It's just part of, like I said, kind of just like part of cleaning. And anytime that I feel like our house, like I'm just like, oh, I can't keep flat surfaces clean. It's hard to put stuff away. That's usually a sign that the inventory has crept up again in those areas and we need to make a pass through it. And so I definitely think this is something that as we continue to practice it with our kids, you know, when they're involved now as they get older with decluttering and continuing to declutter, they start to see those patterns too. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't take this free stuff from the carnival because it just ends up on the floor in my bedroom or it breaks right away. Not always. They're not perfect about it, but we just have ongoing conversations. And again, now our kids are 9 through 14 and it's not a big deal. Do we have some that are still attached to things more than others? Yes. And we have systems for that, like our treasure boxes. But mostly they can take a box or a black trash bag and go to their room and make a pass through. And it's really not that big a deal. And so keep working at it. Be aware of the methods we can do to decrease the inventory coming in. But then don't worry so much. When it does get in, say, okay, we have systems. We're going to make a pass. I'm going to go around the house with a black trash bag. We're going to spend an hour this Saturday. I'm going to give everybody a box and tell them if they fill it up, I'll give them $5. You know, we have lots of tactics that we can use then to move this stuff back out again. So I know so many can relate, especially when you have little kids and younger kids and people like giving them gifts. And you don't want to just be like a Scrooge and be like, stop giving my kids gifts, right? But I do understand how it gets overwhelming too. So for those that will listen and then help direct what it is they're giving. And then if others aren't, there's just really only so much that we can do.
Hi, Dawn. First, I want to say thank you for everything you've done for me. And I want to excuse my English because I'm speaking this from Germany. When I declutter things and my husband is okay with it and understands why I do this, and a week later he brings home another supply for baking or another gift for the kids because he found it and it was cheap, although he understands that less toys are better or less stuff in the kitchen is better. How can I do with this?
Well, I think your English is fantastic. So, and I love, like I said, I love hearing the questions when you all ask it. It's so fun to hear. So yes. So this kind of ties into the last question. Again, so now the offender is your husband, right? And so in my experience, it's an ongoing conversation. It's something that we continue to talk about. And different people show love in different ways. And for some, it's by bringing physical things in, whether it's to your kids or whatnot. And some just can't pass up a good deal or something for free, right? So this can be hardwired pretty deep in us. I know for Tom and I, early on when Christmas came around, one of the first Christmases after I had really decided to simplify and declutter, and I had developed such a strong value for the kids having very little. I had seen in front of my own eyes, because at the time I was home with them all the time, how when I highly simplified their toys and their possessions, how they thrived in that space and they were creative and they were content and they played and they were, it was just so enjoyable. Like it really seemed like they were really enjoying the simplified spaces. And then Christmas was coming up and Tom and I had very different ideas about what Christmas should look like because I thought, hey, the kids get gifts. We have, you know, other family close by. They're going to get gifts from grandparents and aunts and uncles. Like we don't even have to give them anything, right? And they were still little at the time. I'm like, they're not even going to know. They have no expectation. They don't know what to expect from Christmas. Let's set the bar real low for us, right? And he was just like, are you insane? Like, this is Christmas. Like, this is gifts and lavish and love. And, you know, they're not going to feel loved if we don't have a bunch of gifts under the tree, you know, when they come down Christmas morning. And so we landed on that we would get them each one gift from us. Even that, I was like, they don't need it. We don't need it, you know? But we compromised on that. And then actually after a few years, we did go down to not even giving them any gifts from us. And then now we've gone back up. And so it's been an ongoing conversation, but we definitely were not on the same page in the beginning. And so I think it's something that you continue to talk about. You know, this is very countercultural. I imagine in your culture too, that kids actually need very few toys, that they thrive in such highly simplified spaces. And so I do think it warrants ongoing conversation for you to reflect back, like, hey, I've been noticing that I feel more at peace when the kitchen is simplified, when our bedroom is simplified, when the living spaces are, but I've also been noticing in the kids too, they seem more content, more happy, more at peace, more creative. They play better together when we have really few things in our spaces, in our living spaces, in our family room, in their bedrooms. And so I really want to continue to try and keep the inventory low. I've been learning about this idea of inventory and, you know, it's stuff we have to manage, but it's also stuff the kids have to manage. They just seem to do well with much less. And we just continue to talk about it and talk about it. And I do think it's something that over time from many women that I've talked to, and then also with my own experience, that as we talk about it, as they continue to understand why this is so important to us, that they are usually willing to make adjustments. Now, again, like I said in the last question, it doesn't mean that they're going to totally stop, right? And so again, we have systems. Then when stuff comes in, we let the kids enjoy it for a while, but it doesn't mean we have to keep it forever. Anytime a gift comes in, like, let's enjoy it. If the kids have fun with it, they think it's fun to get, yeah, of course, let them enjoy it. And then after a few days or a week, then we look at the data again. Are they still playing with it? Have they lost interest in it? Does it feel like it's cluttering up the space? Or maybe do we want to keep this new thing and let some other stuff go? And so it's just kind of this like fluid, you know, there's always stuff coming in and going back out again. Sometimes the new stuff goes right back out again. Sometimes old stuff goes out to make room for the new, but we just continue to keep the stuff moving through our house. And over time, I feel like though the amount coming in that has to move through is less and less. And so keep practicing it, keep talking about it. And I think that will end up being your experience as well.
Just wondering what your recommendation would be for the things I have of my mom's in my basement. She has Parkinson's and I had to put her in assisted living, and I just don't know what to do with all the stuff, photos and memorabilia that I just don't have the room to store.
You have to get the book, Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff by Matt Paxton. So during the month of February, we've been going through that in our mentorship group, where we went through it, and the feedback was so good. This is the number one book that I recommend for anything to deal with sentimental items, heirloom items, photos, anything that you've inherited that has been passed down that you're like, I just don't know what to do with it. And so in the book, Matt talks about creating your legacy list. And what's really neat is that as you pull together this legacy list, if you say, what do I want to be remembered by? Or if you're doing it with someone else's possessions, what do I want to remember them by? And as we pull out these very special pieces, that it becomes easier to let the other stuff go. And he definitely has tactics in there for working through the other stuff, for working with other family members, whoever else might be involved with the process. What do we do with it? Where does it go? What does that process look like? But it was really encouraging, and the members in our mentorship group too just kept saying like how helpful this actually was. And again, you might need some outside help with this. So it can just be a lot to go through. And the other thing that Matt really emphasizes, and I have a podcast interview we did a little while back we can link to, and then also that book. But he's like, you got to tell the stories. Like, you have to tell the stories. And so that requires someone else. Whether you're doing it over FaceTime or Zoom, or you have someone that can be in person, it could be a friend, it could be a family member. They don't have to have known your mom, but you have to be able to tell the stories of the things. And through that process, it really does help us to be able to see more clearly which items should be the legacy list items, and then which ones, maybe it was fun to retell the story, but I don't have to keep that item forever. And then he also has some ideas for how we can connect the stories to things, but really he'll talk about like, if we have a phone on us, which most of us do now, that you can just turn on the video recorder and you can just record a story or something that goes along with what he calls like an artifact, something that you might decide to keep or not to keep. But by capturing the story around it, that's really what those who were going to pass these things on to, that's what they're interested in. Because if I just have an item and there's no story attached to it, once the item's been passed down enough that the people don't remember the story, it means nothing. It's totally meaningless. But if we can keep the story attached to it, then that is what other generations are going to be fascinated by. And, you know, often I know many will say like, well, my kids, my adult kids, they don't want any of it. They're not interested. And Matt will say, I don't think that's true. Everybody at some point wants to know where they came from. And we want to know that we're part of a heritage and a line of others who have gone before us. But often this isn't neatly archived in a way where it's very easy to revisit the past or those stories or to see very clearly where it is that we came from. And so what a gift when we can find these ways to tell the story and to pass on a select items, a legacy list worth of items. We're not talking boxes and boxes and a whole attic full of things, but a handful of things that are very special, and then we can communicate the stories that go along with it. And so I highly recommend that book. Again, it's called Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff by Matt Paxton. It is gold. It is so helpful. Everyone should read it, whether you are in a season of downsizing, whether you're dealing with stuff that you have inherited or has been passed down, or if you are a younger generation and you know that you will be helping other generations. And it's just really enjoyable to read too. Matt's a great storyteller, and it's a very easy read too.
We're moving across the country in a few months, and I really don't know where we're going to be living yet. We have no idea how big it's going to be or what kind of spaces I'm going to have for storage. I'm trying to take as little as possible because, you know, trucks cost money, and the bigger the truck, the more it costs. But how do we do that when we don't know where we're going to be living next?
I think it's irrelevant not knowing where you're going next. I mean, unless it's a difference of hot climate, cold climate, and should we get rid of the winter boots or not. But really, it's kind of irrelevant because the only things that you want to bring with you are the things that you are for sure going to use. And that's probably the things you're using right now. It's always, you know, we sold real estate for quite a while, and we would often like help people move, especially if they were moving locally. We would bring our enclosed trailer, and Tom is like the king of Tetris. So he would help stack all the boxes in, and it would just be trip after trip. And I was often horrified by how much stuff people were moving, because they'd get down to the end and they would say, well, I just had to shove it all in boxes. Inevitably. I don't think there was a single time I went to someone's house and they were like, oh, got finished packing in plenty of time. It was less than I thought it was going to be, and we are ready to go. It is always so much more. I think it's double to triple what we expect it's going to be, how much inventory we have in our homes and how much time it actually takes to move it when we get to that point. Again, I think it's irrelevant where you're going, because you only want to pack the stuff that you're absolutely using right now and therefore are going to absolutely use in the next house. Now, could there be a few things, like often the things that then kind of hang people up if you don't know where you're going are like decor or furniture pieces. But again, if you haven't, I look back how much, especially like artwork and stuff that I brought from one house to the next, because I didn't use it in this house, but we're going to be moving again. And I don't know if we'll use it in the next. And then I just ended up donating it all when we got to this house and realized there's like hardly any wall space in this house. It is like windows and that's it, which I love, but there's like very little wall space in this house. So I ended up getting rid of almost all of it. And then even the stuff that we did have, I'm like, it doesn't really fit the style or whatnot. So I used so little of it. The furniture in our townhouse, we could accommodate bigger furniture, and then it did not fit in my parents' basement, and then it definitely didn't fit in our house now. So most of the furniture, we ended up getting something different. And so we have these grandiose ideas that, oh, well, just because I didn't use it in this house, I might use it in the next house. Well, just because the kids didn't play with these toys now, maybe when they get a year older. Oh, just because, you know, and like all this stuff, we just justify. Well, maybe, what if someday? The biggest gift you could give yourself right now is to use this opportunity to purge all of the stuff that you have not been using. Only keep the stuff that you absolutely use every single day, and all of that just in case and what if and I don't know. If you would be willing to let that go, you are going to get to your next house, whatever it ends up being, and you're going to have so much freedom there. And I know it often gets confusing because we think, well, being a good steward or being frugal or being money wise means I'm not going to be wasteful. So therefore, then I need to keep all of these things for just in case that I would need it at the next house. And so it gets very confusing. I understand that, because we really don't want to be wasteful. But I truly believe, it, again, from my experience with helping others and then our own moves along the way, that you're not going to miss it. And in the off chance that you get there and you're like, oh, shoot, I could have used this here. If you will replace it, like go on Marketplace, find, you know, an inexpensive replacement. I mean, think of just like if you use one less moving truck, right? Like that money you would have spent, you could have that be like your replace stuff budget. But I just think it's going to be so little and so insignificant. Or often what happens to me now too, if I'm like, oh, I decluttered that and I could have used it, I'm like, who cares? I'll just use something else or I'll go without it. Like it's just not that big a deal, because I value having a highly simplified house so much. So I just feel so strongly that you're not going to miss this stuff, and you will be so incredibly grateful to not have to move it. I mean, when you think about how many times you touch something when you move it from one house to another, like you have to put it into the moving box, and then you have to move the moving box into the truck, and then you have to unload the moving box out of the truck and bring it into the house, and then you have to unpack it and put the thing where it's going to go. How much of that we can shortcut by just decluttering the stuff now and not bringing it with us. Moving is the best time for a fresh start, and I think it's just a great time to do an experiment and see if you just don't end up missing any of it, because I just really don't think that you're going to. All right. Well, so fun to get to answer your questions today. And I'll put a link down below if you want to leave a voicemail with your own question. It is so fun to hear it in your own voice and to hear you asking it. I really enjoy that. So there's a link for that down below. But I love you. I hope you have a really good day, and I'll see you again soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Minimal Mom Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend who might find value in embracing a simplified life.